Then we are live. Hold on. All right, now we're live everywhere. Good
Hi,
morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. We are live.
we are an hour late.
Listen, you're lucky.
I don't
Things
even know where to look.
change, you
I
know, things
know, I
change. So
know.
we are live on our Facebook page is plural. We are live on IG. We are recording for iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio. And this is Lais and the Coach.
Yes.
Morning coffee.
Cheers.
Cheers. Hey.
Oh, I love this mug.
So last time we were here, we talked about our new format, right? Sunday morning coffee. And we had a guest. And we also talked, Wani. And
Wani?
we also talked about doing the show in the mornings
Yes,
and how
we
we were
like it
gonna.
better.
We like it better. It's a little bit easier. But today was a typical morning for us where everything went different. So we just changed things around. And while we had every intention
Story
of
of
doing
our
the show
lives.
at 10, you know, it just got delayed a little bit because we made some other choices. So, but we are here
We're here now.
as promised and on time as far as making sure that we were going to do the show today.
That's true. At the very least, we are still here. Just
Now,
a little late.
some updates. If you are
Love
tuning
it.
into the
I
show
can't
for the
see
first time,
anything.
then we typically, obviously, we're going to talk about fitness and training and all that stuff, but we also talk about other stuff, you know. And if you've been watching the show for a while, if you go back a couple episodes, we were talking about how much we binged watched Blacklist.
If you haven't seen Blacklist, you have to watch it. How many seasons? Six, seven.
Seven seasons.
It's the best show ever.
So I started watching Blacklist.
Without
And
me, because it's hard for me to get into shows.
right,
Like, it takes me a while.
she struggles to connect with the characters, as she says. So I started watching Blacklist, and I thought, you know, we were looking for a new show. And I started
We're not
watching,
really big like TV or show people,
right,
but sometimes at night, like
more for
for
like
an hour to
a
wind
mental break
down.
or something. So we were looking for a new show, and you know, you can go through Netflix and there's just so many, and we're kind of like picky with what we like. But I started watching Blacklist and I liked it. And I said, you should really check the show out. And you know, so then I started watching it again, you know. So I was like four or five episodes in, and then I started to watch it with her again. And the first two or three times, she wasn't having it.
I was like, I
She would
don't
fall
like this show.
asleep. You know, she wouldn't, you know, she just wouldn't give, right? And then weeks went by, and it would be one of those nights where it's like, do you want to give it a shot? Like, it's really good.
I'm like,
And honestly, I was saying to myself, I'm just going to keep watching without her because she doesn't like it and I do, so whatever. So I started watching, and then she started to get into it. Maybe by the seventh or eighth episode, she started to really get into it. Like, she would watch it. But like when she gets into a show, it is
She gets so annoyed
because
with me.
then she's all in and fully invested.
I want to watch it all night. I get so angry. I'm sorry, you guys. I cannot see who's here. I see faces, I see hands, but I cannot see from
So
far. I need
we
glasses.
started like episode seven, eight. She's like really into it. And when she gets into a show, I got to get ready to binge because she pulls all-nighters, you know. So we went from she never wanted to see it to several weeks without even watching it to watching it every day.
Sometimes it'd be like the middle of the day. I'm like, let's watch our show.
And
He's
that would
like,
be the end
it's
of the
2 p.m.
day.
on a Tuesday. What the hell? Anyway, we watched all six seasons, which is what they originally had on Netflix.
So all they had on Netflix as of like a month or two ago was the first six seasons. So we watched all of it. And it was like marathons, like
Yeah, it was
Friday night,
epic.
2 a.m.,
It'll
like
change
one
your life.
more.
Thank me later. And then.
And then season six ended, and we knew that there was another season. It's like, all right, so we got to find it. So they had it on Prime, but you had to buy it.
The whole
Like
season.
we have the subscription to Prime, but then you had to buy the whole season.
Yeah.
And imagine negotiating with
her. They know we have the subscription with Prime, babe. They're aware of all of my children.
Right.
Anyway.
But imagine trying to negotiate with her on like, why don't we just wait for it to come out?
Yeah, because it was going to come out on Netflix like a month later. I'm like, I'm not going to wait a month. We're going to buy this right
now. God forbid we wait a month for a show you didn't even want to watch.
So we bought it on Prime.
We bought it on Prime.
I won.
And binged the season. And then we got to the last episode of season 7.
One? Yeah. It was so sad, you guys.
Well, it was sad because we knew it was the last episode because season 8 hasn't been released.
Yeah.
And it was going to be the very last one for, you know, it's the end of the show. There's not another season yet and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And we started watching it. And so that show was recorded right as COVID, the quarantine started. Mm-hmm. So they did the very, very best that they could with what they had in terms of making sure that that last episode got recorded.
Yeah.
But someone.
It was terrible. I was so angry.
I was so angry
because I invested so much time and emotions into this show to end it like that.
But you already told people that they should watch it, right?
Yeah.
So it's not that it was bad.
No, it's not that the story was bad. It's the way that they had to record it because of COVID. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really like a show. Like,
anyway, we won't spoil it if you watch it. If you have watched it,
be prepared for
listen,
the shit
if you
show.
Have watched it, comment or message us. We want to know what you thought about the last episode.
I was very angry.
She was very angry.
I'm very excited to watch season 8. I just was very angry. Like, I would rather them be like, we stopped recording because of COVID. We'll pick it back up when we can. Then record an episode like that, COVID style. I'm not a fan of this new normal or whatever the fuck you want to call it.
So if you've seen
very angry
the last episode, reach out to us. I'd like to hear what you think. Because anyway. All I've been hearing is that. Anyway, so fast forward. We are not done with our TV talk because then... maybe a month ago, after so much hype, I watched Cobra Kai.
What hype? Where did you even see it being hyped?
It was all over YouTube. It's a YouTube show.
I don't know.
There was hype everywhere. I guess hype for everybody that liked The Karate Kid or whatever the case might be, right? There was
Who's
hype.
Seen The Karate Kid? I've not seen...
She's never seen The Karate Kid 1, 2, or 3.
There's three of them? I thought it was one Karate Kid movie.
Anyway, so there's a lot of hype for Cobra Kai. And I would see the few people... And you'll get a kick out of this. The few people on my Facebook page that were not arguing about something that talked about Cobra Kai... We're like, it's so good or whatever. So I said, you know what? I'll give it a shot. And I honestly watched the first, I thought the first episode was good, like, but it wasn't like, oh my God, like I got to watch the second one. It was good. And it was great to see the continuation of that story. But I was like, all right, I'll watch it, but I'll probably watch this show when I have nothing to do. Like when there's nothing else, I will watch it.
Yeah.
And maybe a week went by and I watched the second one. And then a couple days went by and I watched the third one. And then, boom.
We got good.
From episode 3 till the end of season 2 was one after the other. Mm. And then I said to her, I think you're really going to like this show after I finished it. Because now I had already done,
we finished two seasons.
I'd done the work, you know. I said, I think you're really going to like this show.
They're going to be like, wow, it's very exhausting to be with her.
She's like, ah, oh, you think?
I'm like, I don't like karate. That's so weird.
I said, I think you're really going to like this show. So she watched the first one. It was good.
Yeah, it was fine.
She watched the second one. And then after episode 2, we were doing 3 or 4 shows a night.
Listen, you guys.
And it would be 1 a.m. She's like, do another one.
He'll shut off the TV. I'm like, what are you doing?
Jeez.
It's not even okay, but it's different than The Blacklist because it's not like one of those like crazy action ones. It's like it's a fun and good like soap opera like thing,
right.
Which leaves you like hanging more. Right. Like at least with Blacklist, like they concluded the episode. There was always something hanging, but it's like I don't know. And it felt longer and right. it was more intense. This is not intense and it feels like it's 30 minutes.
Right.
And I was like, wait, then what happens? Like,
the other struggle we had is that we were really into, what's it?
Blind Spot.
We started watching Blind Spot when it started and we were really into it.
Yeah.
And this last season.
We love cop shows.
This last season could not have possibly been worse.
Oh my God. It was so
what?
Bad. They ruined
it. Was it. Terrible. It was anyway. Terrible. So watching TV at the end of the day is typically what we do to disconnect
yes.
from
all the work,
the days of weighing our food and working out and
it's
all
like
the
a
other
spider
stuff.
Web.
So that's the update on what we're doing. So we are, I think, two episodes into season two for Cobra Kai for her. I've already finished watching it.
I'm very excited.
And
are we going to finish it today?
She's very excited. I don't know. We'll give a review in our next episode. And in our next episode, we're going to have our next guest.
Yes.
Which
so
we're
that's
what
about. We're exactly. That's what we're
so,
going to talk about.
So that's what we're going to talk about today. So we're going to have probably every other episode, we'll have one of the members of our contest prep team
yes.
Forever.
Talk about their
to talk
journey.
About their journey, talk about their experience getting ready for the show. The show is happening.
The Miami show.
The Miami show is happening. It will be November 29th.
Sunday.
It is a Sunday.
Thanksgiving week.
Thanksgiving weekend.
Team Forever is going to rock it.
Miami, we will be at the Hyatt in Brickell.
Mm-hmm.
And
whoever's in the area, you should definitely come watch. It's
yeah, come watch
amazing.
Your show.
Amazing.
And it has been an interesting year for contest prep. For bodybuilding.
Everything.
For everything. Bodybuilding in general because... You know, it's one of those things where in any sport you have to prepare, right?
Oh,
like you've got to
sure.
stay ready. Like in most sports, you got to stay ready so that, you know, like if you're a basketball player, you've got to be in condition so that you could play ball or whatever. But for bodybuilding or fitness competitions, the amount of time that it takes to prepare for a show is related to where you start in your journey, right? So if
yeah.
you need to lose 20 pounds to get on stage as lean as possible, then you need X amount of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have a date where the show is going to be held and then you work backwards, right?
Right. So I was going to say the plan is based on that date.
So the plan is based on that day. You're going to compete in 20 weeks. All right. So in 20 weeks, you need to
yes.
weigh X or be X body fat percentage
yes.
or look like X.
And this is the
and
plan
then you
every
work
week
backwards,
until
right?
then.
And then you work backwards to where you're starting. And then every week you have a way of manipulating the way that you look so that you can get to that outcome.
Yeah.
But this year, multiple times throughout the year, many people that have been preparing, not just the people that we coach, but many people all over the world that have been preparing have found themselves toward the end of their prep, finding out that their show was canceled, or in the middle of their prep, finding out that their show was canceled, or somewhere along the path of their journey to the stage, finding out that their show was canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And we
makes
had-
It's very hard to plan in this sport.
We've had, if you look at the beginning of the year, our first show with our team was going to be in LA in April.
Mm-hmm.
And that show got canceled back in March. So let's say hypothetically you started prepping for that show in December. You prep December, January, February, March. And then midway through March, you're like, oh, that show's canceled.
Yeah.
And then what happens to your prep? I mean, obviously.
And that one sucked because it was canceled very last minute.
Yes.
Because obviously it was.
Well, everything happened last
minute. It
was
the beginning of all this. So we didn't, no one knew. They didn't, like, no one knew what to do. Do we cancel it? Do we wait it out? Is this going to last 2 weeks or is
right.
this going to last 2 years?
Right. So the next series of shows got moved and we were very hopeful that by the time the next show that we were going to go to, which was Orlando in June, would be ready, right? We're like, no way, this is still happening in June. And we continued. We had, you know.
Yeah, I'm like, by June, this will blow over. We'll
right. We had like 14 or 15 people getting on stage in June.
Yeah.
And they all continued throughout the quarantine
yep.
to eat their food, drink their water, work out, whether they were working out incognito on the DL in an underground gym that maybe you knew somebody who had a key. you know, listen, I honestly, like, let's put a little, I think that that's the wave of the future in terms of finding the right spot to work out. I think that what's coming, at least for us for sure, is going to be, you know, one of these
underground,
like if you don't know us, you're not coming to our gym or you just gotta like, you know, it's going to be in the back of, a room. Somebody, you got to know somebody like Fight Club. Like, you know, we don't talk about Fight Club, so we don't talk about the gym. But I think that's super cool though, because I would certainly sign up for something like that. So for I should probably open something like that. Anyway, so the reason
everyone
that
was prepping, like,
but the reason that I bring it up is because that was the constant. There was so much uncertainty in March, April, right? You heard
with everything. Kids a million didn't go to things. People didn't go to work.
A million things happened. Life stopped. But for the people that were prepping, I don't know how every other team did it, and I don't know how everybody else did it. I can tell you how our people did it. Everybody on our show stayed on, everybody on our team stayed on the path. They had this goal in June, and we did not deviate. Like, maybe we adjusted or pivoted, but everyone stayed on the path. And when June, when May rolled around, June rolled around, that people started, you know, going out again and seeing their friends. It's like, you know, they would see their friends that gained that quarantine 15 or quarantine 20.
And they made and, all this progress.
And they made all this progress, you know, and it was, and it all came down to a choice.
It's a choice, you guys.
Because
it's
we all rode
say.
Out this storm together. We just chose different boats to be on. You know, and
even though that June show was canceled, that was the thing that they were able to focus on.
So the June show got canceled, and the very next ray of hope was a show in Dallas. And we had people pivot to get ready for Dallas, or not get ready for Dallas, just continue on the journey so that they could finally get on stage in Dallas. And you know, it was like hit or miss. It was 50-50 to almost the very last minute. And we went to Dallas. Some of our team members went to Dallas, and we had five people get on stage in Dallas.
It was awesome.
And it was awesome. And they left Dallas and said, when's the next show? We continue. And along the path, you know, the show in London got canceled. The show in the Bahamas got moved.
The show in LA in October
got canceled. A lot of shows
got canceled.
And up until last weekend was the very next show,
Atlanta,
which
that
was
show
in
number two of the year.
At least for our federation, you know, you know, in the WBFF, there was a show in Atlanta last weekend. But luckily, as a fan of the sport, for several weeks now, there have been shows in multiple federations every weekend, especially here in Florida. Every weekend, there have been one or two shows somewhere, Orlando, Tampa, Boca, West Palm. Like, there are shows stacked up from now to the end of the year. And for us and for the federation that we participate in, the very next show, which will be the last show of the season, is going to be November 29th in Miami. And it is going to be an amateur show for all those getting on stage for the first time or for all of those that are new to competing. And it is going to be a pro show. So is getting on stage too.
Yes, I'm so excited.
So I don't know if you guys are watching her YouTube series, like getting ready for Atlantic City. The last show of the season was a show that she was getting ready for in December, which was going to be in Atlantic City. Which was going to be the last pro show of the year and last show of the year period. And they've condensed that Atlantic City show with the Miami show.
And made that a pro show.
She will be stepping on stage on November 29th. And again, if you haven't watched her series on YouTube, I mean, I think you started doing it 16 weeks out, 17 weeks out.
Yeah, we've been doing it for, well, it's changed, right?
It's changed.
Originally, I was getting ready for
LA
in October, and then it was Atlantic City, and then it was Miami, because Miami is a couple weeks.
But you've just been documenting how the weeks have been going.
We've been documenting for a good 12 weeks already.
And I think that what we wanted to document is to show that it isn't, or at least your life does not revolve 24/7. You're just, you know, eating fish and working out and doing tons of cardio. Like, it's all the stuff that isn't working out.
You
know, with some workout and food sprinkled in.
But it is just life in general.
So if you haven't checked that out, it is on her YouTube channel. You can go to her page. I could put it in. If you're listening on iTunes or Spotify or whatever, I can put it in the links. And if you're on any one of our social media platforms, the links are everywhere. So we'll put that there. But we also have a really decent, well, I think a really big team going to Miami. We have at least 20 people coming to Miami with us that are on our team, getting
competing
on stage, competing for the first time, for the second time, for the third time. Bree is competing for the fourth time. Mm-hmm. So we have different levels on our team, people that have never done anything like this before.
Mm-hmm. We have Erica also, who's all the way.
Erica is another pro on our team. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of variety in the people that are on our team, and a lot of variety in their experience to get to this part of their journey.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons that we wanted to talk to all of them, you know, so that you could hear how their experience went.
How their journey went.
And see what their take on the whole process is. Because, you know, at the end, what we ideally want is maybe you hear something that inspires you to get on your fitness journey, whether it's with us or with somebody else.
Right.
You know, at the very least, if you say, hey, you know, she's just like me, or he's
right.
just
people
like me.
People relate to different stories and different journeys and 100%. Different people. So it's not all about just my journey or, you know, it's everyone's journey is so cool. Like, we love being a part of it, watching it all unravel, and more people should be able to see other people's journeys and hear about it, you know, so that they can also.
I think, you know, one of the things that I've heard a lot is that people see those transformations, right? Or they see the person on stage. And one of the things that I hear a lot is always, you know, I want the transformation, but I don't want to get on stage.
Yeah. We've been hearing that for years.
And sometimes I think that what people are really saying is, I hope to get the transformation. I just don't ever think that I could transform like that to get on stage. Because ideally,
like, I don't think that I can look stage
right.
Ready.
Because ideally, here's the truth. Like, if you made a radical transformation like that, where you look stage ready, then why wouldn't you?
Right.
You know,
well, a lot of times people are like, but I'm super shy. I can never do that. I can never get on stage in a bikini and heels, which I totally get.
Right. I get that.
I didn't think I could either. But, you know,
I just think that one of the things that separates that goal from any other goal is a commitment to that
right.
end.
Is the fact that, you know, you're going to have to get on stage in a bikini and heels and be judged on the way that you look. Mm-hmm. That puts a different amount of pressure and importance, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. to the commitment. Like, it makes you commit in a different way because you're like, holy shit.
I think so.
You know?
So from now, I think till the end of the year and even a lot of next year, I mean, there's probably 15 or 16 interviews that we're going to do.
Yes.
And if we do them every other week, like, yeah, it should be like 3 months worth of stuff. So look out for those interviews coming.
Yes.
And it'll be great for anybody who's contemplating, considering, or honestly, forget the show stuff. Even if you're just looking for, you know, you've tried a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
You've done this diet and that diet and this workout program and the other, and it doesn't seem to have worked for you. It's always great to listen to what somebody did and their story and their journey and see if your story is differently met, whether you're a mom or you work, you know, end of the night, you have a night shift, or, you know, whatever your thing might be.
We have all sorts of people on our team, all ages, mm-hmm. all different starting points, moms of one kid, six kids, married, not married, nurses, cops. We have it all.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because one of the things that I remember, one of the things that I've always heard, especially from moms, is always like, yeah, but when I was 17 or I was 18, you know, my body was different, and
I looked way better than I looked at 17 and 18.
I could eat whatever and I wouldn't gain any weight.
Yeah.
And, you know, now I can, you know, for whatever reason, they've told themselves they can't. And I remember I posted, I think it was last year when Bree prepped, you know, Bree was 17. And how hard do you think it is for the average 17-year-old kid to stay committed and focused to a process for that long, to weigh their food, to do the workouts even on the day? Like, kids don't want
to
do the things that they want to do.
Junk when they
want. Right. Yeah. Like, how difficult do you think that is for a kid? So at least as an adult, you can understand the concept of prioritizing, or you should,
yeah.
right? Or of prioritizing or of commitment, you know? Mm-hmm. Consistency, compliance.
Yeah, you understand a lot more as an adult.
And then you can make those choices, right?
Right.
But imagine for a kid
that
doesn't get that.
For sure.
That is used to instant gratification. You know, we live in this microwave society where everything is an instant. And this process takes a while, no matter what. Yeah. No matter what.
But
it's going to take time.
I think people
and work.
And I think people get stuck on in their high school years, or when I was in my 20s, or before I had kids, whatever they tell themselves, what they remember, they look mm-hmm. their best at, or felt their best, mm-hmm. best, whatever it is. And they don't think because a lot of times, even when we're talking to people in a consultation, they're like, well, you know, like, I know that I'm not going to look like how I used to. Like, why not? Like, right. I look 100 times better than I did in my early 20s before kids.
I hear that all the time.
You know, it's like you can look way better than you used to.
But
like,
I hear a thing. I think you're absolutely right. And but the way I hear it is typically differently, because I hear exactly that statement. But what I'm really listening to is, you know, that was my peak.
Right.
And I'm never going to reach my peak again.
Right. Like my peak is over. Like, no, you're just starting.
Right. And I don't know why. I don't know why people do a lot of things. And I don't know why people believe a lot of things that they believe. But I certainly can't understand why they have told themselves that, you know, that was it, you know, yeah. And you could never get there again. Listen, in this space, in this fitness competition world, you know, you end up seeing and hearing a lot of stories, and you meet a lot of people that maybe didn't get into fitness into their late 30s, early 40s, in their 50s.
We have people in their 50s on our team.
And you see somebody on stage, you know, at 50 years old, full of muscle, lean, you know,
confident, happy.
Right. And they didn't look like that when they were in high school. It's like, you couldn't have looked like that because you didn't put in 50 years of work.
Yeah.
Right. So you could not have possibly looked like that. You know, they are certainly not telling themselves, you know, I looked my best in high school.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Right. Like how
before I had kids.
Right. Like what I'm saying, like I didn't, like for a while there, I was like, I just need to get my body back. And then I was like, no, I need to get my body a million times better than it ever was. That's possible. And it should only continue to get better. But I think that a lot of times it's that, like, yeah, but now I have X amount of kids. Yeah, but now my metabolism is different. I look at bread and I gain weight. Like, yeah, but now I know if that was a thing, I'd be screwed. You know, or like I work too much or whatever the case is. Like now I'm 40. Like people always have reasons why it's like over for them. And it's like you're just getting started if that's what you want. You know, because it's not everyone's goal, and that's okay. But to say that, like, well, you know, I'm not in my 20s anymore. Like, that's great that you're not in your 20s anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, do your thing now in your 30s, right. In your 40s, in your 50s, whatever that is.
You're not in your 20s anymore. And the truth is that at this stage, I find that the more people that I coach,
320 pounds, so I'm about 187. Good job. Good job, Mike.
The people that I coach now, what I've seen is adults that have life experience are actually more committed now.
Yeah.
Because I think that they understand it from a different level. They're either doing it for their health or they're doing it for themselves.
To be around for their kids.
Or to be around for their kids, whatever the case might be. So for anybody who's already said to themselves, I can't because of my age or whatever.
Or I'll never look like I looked in high school. I hope you don't look like you looked in high school. I hope you look a million times better.
I can tell you, I have plenty of case studies, of testimonials, of people that have surpassed any perceived notion that they have of how great they were going to look and feel, way past whatever their prime was. And I think that it has everything to do with the level of commitment that you have as an adult.
Totally. Like, and understanding.
You know, if you're committed, you know, if you're not committed, you know, then you're not committed.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing that we can do about
that. That's okay.
That.
Yeah.
But, you know, the same way you have responsibilities with your children, your family, your household expenses, you know, this is one of those things that if you put in the same category, you know, you can rock it. You can rock 100%. It at any stage.
And that's the thing. You said case studies, and case studies are great. Facts are great. Science is great. That's like your jam. But to me, what's awesome is to be able to get somebody on here on camera and be like, what's your story? What's your experience? And hear firsthand real people, real stories. They're better than any case study. They're better than any before and after picture. Because a lot of times people think we're tampering with those.
Right. So Photoshop. Funny.
Anyway, but you know, to listen to someone's story and to listen to everything that they have to say about where they were, where they're at, where they're going, their journey, their life is really, really cool. It's better than any other proof 100%. Out there, you know, which is why we're going to have them on the show.
100%. So next episode will be live with our next guest.
Yes.
So if you are watching this on the YouTube, or somebody said something over there, if you are watching this on the YouTube or the Facebook, you can.
Let me go get it.
If you are listening on iTunes or Spotify or iHeartRadio or any of those, and you enjoy this, like it, share it, do whatever, you know, the stuff on the podcast is?
Tori, that's such a great question.
What happened?
Tori said, I gained a huge amount of weight after post-show and obviously quarantine. Will you be documenting post-show? Any motivation advice for after the show? I feel like after the show, I didn't have a goal. I freaking love that so much. We're going to have to talk about that.
The show continues.
Tori are a thing, okay?
Well, here's the thing. We actually talked about that yesterday.
We did?
Well, yesterday
with our team.
Yesterday with our team, we had a posing boot camp. It was 48 hours of nonstop posing.
Posing and consultations and right. therapy sessions
we
with
got,
you.
We got a hotel room and met with everybody.
Yeah.
And ran their posing routines, and then we chatted about where they are in their journey and stuff. So we ran from Friday at 2 until yesterday at 5, just everybody came to do their thing.
Yeah.
And one of the things that her and I talked about that we have to address with our team is, even though they're 5 weeks out, is what's next. Yeah. We have to start talking about what's next already.
So really quick, Mike, send me a DM and we can talk about workout plans that you're asking for. We absolutely do that. Okay, Tori, here's the thing. It's so critical to have a goal, even if the goal is not to do another competition, right? So like, I want to start there because like when you decide to do a show and you decide to compete, that becomes something that really kind of takes over your life. And when I say that, I don't mean like you're eating and working out and doing cardio 24/7. I just mean like it takes over your life, probably like in your head and emotionally. We talk about this all the time and compare it to maybe planning a wedding,
right?
When you're planning a trip, like when there's something big happening in your life and it takes planning and it takes daily work and daily tasks, it becomes a part of like your routine and a part of who you are. And once that's over and that happens, you leave a little bit like
you have a void.
You're lost, right?
There's a void.
It's literally like competition blues is a thing. So the first part of your question is, you know, like gaining a bunch of weight post show and because of quarantine, you know, I'll tell you, for us, like the way that we like to make sure that we prep is so that something like that doesn't happen. Taking out a bunch of food, doing a bunch of cardio, doing a bunch of extreme things to get on stage is something that we are not necessarily fond of and we don't do just because that's not something that's realistic to maintain after. And then you can rebound like that. But I don't know what you did, so I can't really speak to that. But there is a thing I will be documenting post-show, my reverse diet, which is, you know, obviously you do have to cut out some calories and you do have to lean out for the show. So I won't be at 2,400 calories on show week.
Right.
And I do have to reverse my way back up to make sure that physically I don't rebound. Did you want to talk about post show?
Right. I think that even if you don't have a specific goal right after the show, like I've had people leave a show and then they say something like, you know what? I want to train for a marathon, mm-hmm. right? It's a completely different show, a completely different thing. But I think that what you, regardless of whether or not the next goal is a show or something else, or even if you don't have one, what you should have in place post competition is always a plan to get you back into a healthy, mm-hmm. A healthy range of food to maintain what you've accomplished.
That needs to be part of your prep.
Because you don't want to get stage ready and then lose that right after the show
right. Because
of certain decisions that you make. So whatever, the same way you progress in the gym where, you know, you don't walk into the gym the first day and grab the heaviest amount of weight that you can find, right? You progress to get stronger. So the same way you regress down gradually to get ready for that show, you should kind of like progress your calories back up slowly. And that should be part of the plan that you have right after the show
right.
to get you to either maintenance or to get you to the next goal or whatever the next thing might be. It's just that everybody doesn't always have
right.
a goal set out.
Even if you don't have a goal though, like part of your prep needs to be, okay, I decided today that I'm going to prep for this show and it's 26 weeks away. Not only am I going to spend the next 26 weeks getting ready for this moment, I am going to spend X amount of weeks after getting myself back up, even if it is to maintenance,
right.
even if it is just to maintain what
right.
you're doing, right?
Even if it was a one and done, like I
right.
want to do the show.
One show
I want to do the show. I want to get in shape like that, but then I want to keep it.
Right.
Great. Maybe that's the goal.
Right. You still need to reverse at the end of that. You still need to have a plan in place at the end of that because you don't want to backtrack. You don't want to put in all that work to end up where you started or worse. So that's one thing. But as far as the goal, because the goal is more of like that emotional side of it, right? Like feeling lost and feeling like you don't really have anything to work towards once you've done a show. What I've done personally is just jump into another show. Like I'm going on my sixth show in 2.5 years.
She enjoys competing.
I enjoy it. personally.
And whether, regardless of the outcome of this show, like there's already plans to compete again.
Right. I'll be competing, you know, at least twice next year.
So, but I'll get a little bit more geeked out.
Okay.
And more sciencey.
Okay.
If you ever look at the blue zones, right? The blue zones are the 6 or 7 places on the earth where people live the longest, right? There are 6 or 7 blue zones where people have, there's the most number of centurions, people that live over 100. The one common denominator is not food. It's not what they're eating. It's purpose.
Right.
Everybody that's living longer has a sense of purpose, meaning something that they get up to do, whether that purpose be maintaining their farm or that purpose be the kids in their village, you know, as the elders in the village. But there is always a sense of purpose.
Right.
And right now, for the people that compete, you put a lot of that purpose into the show. And then once the show is over, you kind of lose purpose. And over the surface, to somebody that doesn't understand, that seems maybe egocentrical.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like any other goal. Like she said, like the wedding, it's the baby. And then you have a baby shower. And then you finally have the baby. And then all the things that you were looking forward to kind of go away. But the baby brings in the next set of things, mm-hmm. right? It's moving toward the next thing.
Yes.
And in most cases, if you are not progressing or chasing after the next thing, you're really not stand still.
You're staying stagnant.
Well, I don't think you're staying stagnant. You know, to some level, you're regressing.
Moving backwards, yeah.
So if
competing isn't the goal, you do need to figure out another goal. Like you said, maybe it's running a marathon. I've talked about wanting to learn
martial arts
for a long time, like, you know, self-defense, actually. Maybe it's to do a photo shoot in a specific place. You know, maybe it's to not even care about the way that you look and hit a PR at the gym. Maybe you want a power lift, right? It doesn't always need to be the stage.
Right.
But you do need goals. The same way that we need goals for our business or for our work or for our kids or for our life, for our finances, like for traveling, like we need personal goals. And mm-hmm. I think one of the things that gets lost, and we were talking about this too yesterday, as an adult, we all grow up as kids doing something. Like, it doesn't matter where you grew up or how you grew up. We all had something. Maybe you danced. Maybe you ran track. Maybe you played sports.
Maybe you're in chess club or band.
Right. Exactly. Maybe I wasn't even active, but we all had a thing growing up. That's why there are so many things in school, right? And then we become adults and we become parents and we start working. Maybe you're not a parent, but you're working and we don't have our thing.
Right.
And you know, taking your fitness to the next level, whether it's to compete or to do something completely different, gives you a thing. And that gives you purpose. Back mm-hmm. to what you're saying, that gives you personal goals, that gives you personal accomplishments, that gives you, you know, personal satisfaction. And so there's a lot of emotion tied to setting a goal like that and seeing it through. And there's a lot of emotions that are negative when you are done with that and you don't have the next thing in place. So there are two parts of that. I will be documenting mine in a way that I never have, because we have talked about this. It's very, very important for people to not just see, you know, the reason why I started documenting my journey to the stage to begin with is because I hated that everyone got to see me on stage and didn't know everything that went into it. And everyone has so many ideas of, oh, but she probably did this and didn't do this and did to get on stage. So I'm like, you know what? Let me just document everything that I do so people can see for me specifically what it takes to get there. But I think it's just as important to show everyone what it takes to kind of get out of there and into the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I will absolutely be documenting that. Far out do you pick your shows? It's very personal, and I'm going to let him talk about that, because picking a show is something that somebody needs to do with their coach. You can't necessarily be like, oh, I want to do that show. Like, you can, right? But the person that needs to get you there needs to make sure that they discuss with you, based on where you are and what you've been doing, if that's a realistic goal for you. He says it all the time. Anyone can step on stage. Doesn't matter what your starting point is. Anyone can do a show. What show? Now that depends on where you are and what you've been doing. So I'll let him speak to that. We always like to do things with a lot of time, but that's a question
right.
for you.
Right, I think it's always dependent on, like she said, the person's starting point. Like, where are you today? And if you've competed in the past, like, how lean did you get for your show? And all of the things that are related to make you are all of the factors that determine when you're going to do your next show, or should determine that, right? Now, unless it's something really particular, something specific where, for example, you know, she can only do 5 shows a year.
Right. Right. There are only 5 pro shows a year. So I only have 5 to choose from.
Right. So it's either going to be in April. It's either going to be in August. It is going to be
December, November. December.
Yeah, November, or she's going to travel overseas.
Right.
Right. She's going to go to Europe or Australia. Mm-hmm. So for her,
those are my only options.
For her, it might be a little bit easier in the sense that, well, those are the only options. And then you're going to peak for one of those.
Right.
Other than that, like if there's a show every month, then what you're really looking at is, well, what's your starting point? You know, what would it take to get you to where you're going to be? And then is there an allotted amount of time depending on how your body responds?
And starting point isn't necessarily, you know, do you have to lose 20 pounds versus 50 versus 100? Maybe you don't necessarily need to lose weight, but maybe your metabolism is in a terrible place,
right?
Or maybe you're just starting to work with a coach and there's some figuring out that needs to happen for a few weeks. So starting point is critical, and it's not something that necessarily we determine. Is a coach that has to determine.
It's always better to give yourself more time.
Always. I've never prepped for 12 weeks.
Mostly because you always want to use time to your advantage. And if you do it gradually, then it gives you the opportunity to course correct along the way. And if there are little nuances or whatever, life circumstances, you know, I tell everybody, life's going to get in the way.
Yeah.
You know, life is going to happen. And when life happens, if you give yourself a really small window, then that makes it a little bit more complicated to stay on the path. Mm-hmm. But if you give yourself more time and life happens to you, then you course correct.
Yeah. And to give you like a specific number, I've never prepped for less than 20 to 26 weeks.
Right. Calmly.
Like I've never done like, okay, 12 weeks to prep. Like I've never done that. It's always been 5 or 6 months to be like where I really
like
start.
One of the things that we really wanted to stress along the way was the flexibility that she had with her food.
What does that say? I can't see.
We should get a bigger screen.
Oh, she's asking, Mike is asking Tori if she's in the WBFF. Tori said she competed in 2018. So anyway, yeah, we needed like maybe the computer needs to be the live so that I can see better. Anyway, you guys.
I hope that helped.
Yes. Any competition or any questions, really, you can let us know. And we can cover it next time. And
So if you are watching on YouTube, on Facebook, on IG, like it, share it, comment.
Yes.
If you are listening on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, whatever, you know, do the same thing. So next show, we'll have our guest and we'll go from there.
Yes.
Happy
have
Sunday,
a great
everybody.
Sunday,
peace
guys.
Out.